Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmton Dwight. It's 28 minutes left to the hour of 5, and as always during weekdays, this is Home Run Time, your drive time show with Helmton Dwight on Eagle FM, wherever it is where you are tuned in from. Thank you for tuning in.
And welcome, guys. Mm-hmm. Just had to wake people up there. Sorry, Helmut. You know, it's always a good exercise to do that.
Today's discussion takes us to Antananarivo. You have no idea. I had to practice the whole night. Antananarivo.
Oh, imagine. Okay, practice writing the thing.
No, I'm not there yet. And hey, nowhere. You know. That is the capital of Madagascar. Fun fact, did you know that Madagascar is the only place where you find a type of, a species of chameleon known as the Lobadi chameleons? And they are some of, I think, the shortest animals with the shortest lifespans. Mm. And they grow so fast, and then the whole population lays eggs and then die off before the end of the rainy season. So when they are going through winter, there is not a single one of them alive. And when the next rainy season comes, the eggs that were buried by the previous call it civilization begins to hatch. And, you know, just go straight to reproduction, laying eggs, death for the next generation.
Well, Madagascar actually have a winter, bro? Because they're pretty tropical.
Yeah, they're very tropical,
and super humid.
Yeah, and they have also very giant baobab trees. Like my favorite.
I know that they've got the largest baobab forest.
Yeah.
The south of Madagascar is the one that every year they suffer the worst
flooding,
and they call it a drought scenario. But then in Madagascar's context, because Southern Africa's rain comes from the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
In Madagascar's
and the crossfire.
But here's the thing with Madagascar. Madagascar's issue is that Madagascar, you know, this next period that we're going to get into, September, we're going to see heightened heat, meaning temperatures, mm-hmm. which will then most probably in some or other capacity lead to a scenario of, you know, above average. I'm saying this without having looked at any particular forecasts, dear listeners, but I'm just citing to you trends or specifically characteristics that are observed in Madagascar's specific vicinity of the climate.
Yeah.
Now, every year, Helmut, Madagascar has soaring heat here from August to November. Soaring heat. And then it's like someone just goes and opens up a bucket on them. Then it's floods.
So they're only dealing with, for the most part, two extremes.
They're dealing with extremes just like the rest of Southern Africa deals with extremes. The concern, obviously, which helps to explain why that chameleon species has that unique survival characteristic, if I can call it that. I mean, how do you grow up without knowing your parents? That's vicious.
I know, right?
It's like a vicious cycle. Okay, I thought of... At one stage, I thought that the praying mantis had probably the most vicious love cycle situation.
I've seen that. I would never get laid.
If there's one species I never want to be in this world, is literally
a praying mantis. A male one.
Praying mantis, where you don't even know if your significant other, the one that you guys now paired up with, is even pregnant. And she's already killing you.
Yeah, she's literally eating your head when you are busy.
Yeah, for sustenance in order for the small ones. I know, guys, we weren't pretty graphic in that, but that's nature. That's literally what happens in nature. I'm sorry for that.
Look, as much as I like to continue our species, I'm not risk. That's not the risk I'm willing to take.
Me neither.
National Geography.
That's the first time you'll hear me even go like, you know what, pro bachelor rights.
Oh yeah, big time.
Big time. Yeah. No way, Jose. But anyway, getting back into our discussion, guys. Once again, as Helmut also pointed out, welcoming you to the Home Run. This is your drive time session. If you've seen our poster, we are going into a SADC scenario because our president also made her first particular maiden presentation or speech or appearance as a head of state. Obviously in previous scenario, she would have been the Minister of International Relations.
Yeah.
In her previous capacities in government. And that obviously took place on the 17th of August, meaning 2 weeks in that direction. You know, past tense. And, we've just never sort of like looked at this particular conversation, but actually some very interesting things pop out from this. And, it sets the scene in a weird scenario. And when I say weird, we'll get into it, obviously, because I have to point out the anomaly in the room from examining all the speeches from the SADC representatives.
Yeah.
Helmut, they all sound like, yes, they would have different coat of arms on it, different read, different authors, supposedly. Their greeting styles acknowledge different particular people or sometimes even similar people. For example, the ambassador of Botswana and the representative of the USA forum delegation that was present.
Yeah.
That's now at the foreign ministers or the ministerial engagement that took place like 2 days before the heads of state met. They all speak, when it was with the American delegation, they all spoke about the volatility of the global economy, the differences potentially in trade between the US and other parts of the world, and then also the particular ambition that SADC wishes to achieve in terms of regional economic integration.
Yeah.
And then you get the Troika event that took place after the ministerial event with the US delegation. And then at the Troika event, you've got the discussion based upon, once again, peace, security, and stability, even though peace, security, and stability was also mentioned in the ministerial level engagements, which took place between 12 and 13 August. By 14 August, the Troika guys are meeting, and the Troika is just another particular branch of SADC, guys, just to let you know. If this is all these things take place before the heads of state have to meet, or before they, you know, the main act, commences. Various sort of like theatrical performances. Not that they are being theatric, just, or dramatic, just letting you guys know. It's just how Helmut and I are coining this, describing it for you.
Yeah, in the world of entertainment, we call it opening.
There are two opening acts. Yeah,
opening for the main guy to come in and.
But now the listener is thinking, is this now an elongated 5-day concert that's going nowhere?
In the political world, that makes a lot of sense. You have no idea how much sense that makes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
So in the Troika event, they're talking about peace, stability, security, recognition of systems and institutions regarding governance and the sort of like the conduciveness that is sought after in the broader community of SADC in terms of, you know, socioeconomic, I don't want to say enhancement. There's another word I was looking for, but the promised land of, optimal socioeconomic, participation across the SADC bloc. And then I read our president's statement. Okay, I've actually first read her statement and then I went backwards into the other guys, you know, the various events, because you obviously just need to know what our president is going to say, because it'll be in line with what many of the other particular speeches probably would be from the other heads of state. Okay, our president actually reiterated a lot of the things that preceded the heads of state summit. However, the Troika guys and the speech that our president has actually correlate a lot closer to each other than the ministerial guys that met 4 days prior to the heads of state.
Mm.
So I just needed to put the anomaly in the picture there, dear listeners, so that you know that Helmut and I, technically, we went over something like 6 speeches, Helmut. I think it was like 6 speeches.
Oh, yeah, 5, 6, somewhere there.
That I downloaded. And all of them had the same particular vision. Maintain peace and stability. Ensure peace and stability lasts. Try to achieve regional integration, regional economic integration. ensure that you achieve infrastructure development, enhanced infrastructure development across the block, meaning that all countries benefit, whether you're landlocked or not, and that SADC still maintains its lofty position. I call it lofty as being considered on the African continent as the most stable collection of countries on the continent, which is a fact. Which it literally is a fact. I mean, DRC was just but a corner of DRC, and DRC is big.
Oh yeah, DRC is massive.
DRC is big.
But you know, when you look at the African continent, not just SADC, right? You begin to realize a few things that Sudan. Sudan produces about 70 to 80% of gum arabic, which is a main flavor, and that's used in a lot of flavoring agent of some sort. That's used in a lot of soft drinks, like including basically everything fizzy for the most part.
Yeah.
And Madagascar produces about 70 to 80% of vanilla, again another flavoring. Now, when you get in the chocolate world, Ivory Coast and Ghana produce about 70 to 80% of the cocoa beans that's used in chocolate product. When you look at all these resources, yeah, just they're going like this has a lot, it's all going to point you to a lot of economic potential.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it, from the economic world now, you begin to understand this supply, it's already going into certain directions. And you and I, we more often laugh around on the former Ghanaian president Nana Akufo-Addo's visit to Switzerland when he brought that up, and you should have seen the eyes, or more like the faces. But commercial break.
Save and win at WB in the Pick a Box birthday promo. Enter today with your Smart Buy card. Buy 2x Rhodes 1 liter 100% fruit juice for only $49.99. 2x 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken for $139.99 with Smart Buy. 400ml Vaseline body cream or lotion for $44.99. And 2 kg sunlight hand wash powder for only $54.99 with Smart Buy. Learn more about Pick a Box at www.vurmanbrock.com. T's and C's apply. We care.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And welcome back to Home Run with Helmton Dwight here on your favorite radio station, that's Eagle FM. We continue now. When you look at Sudan's gum arabic, Madagascar's vanilla, or Ghana and Ivory Coast cocoa, all these products are already feeding an existing market.
Yeah.
Now, if you talk about, take for example, developing your economy, you basically have to start thinking in the direction that we saw back in 2021, and Nana Akufo-Addo, speaking to the, at least the representatives of the Swiss government when he was, talking about, processing cocoa into finished products. At home, that's in Ghana. And of course, there were initiatives that were basically put in place by the Ghanaian government. I'm not sure how, I haven't followed up on those initiatives in a while. One thing they came to quickly realize that to produce chocolate in Africa, one of the biggest challenges you have to deal with is the heat. Now, that's not something that a lot of European countries have to deal with. And also, unless you are producing the sugarless, mostly dark chocolates that are mostly, not made with at least not a large amount of sugar and milk that you find in most common sweetened chocolate. Now, if you have to produce the non dark chocolates, you know that is going to, you will need a large supply of dairy products, that's milk,
yeah,
and a large supply of sugar.
Yeah.
Now, all these things putting them in place is going to raise a very interesting corporate and economic and contractual obligation question. Obviously, the Swiss will go like, okay, if you have to process everything at home, how are we going to run our industry? So now, this is where I think, for a lot of African countries, we are sitting with a ginormous diplomatic question to sort out. A very ginormous, diplomatic question to get out of the way.
Mm.
Because, those companies like Mars and Nestle, for example, they will go through their governments. They're going through the American government, so mostly, or just, straight up the Swiss government to try and communicate with either the government of Madagascar or Namibia or DRC, depending on where the interests are based. Now these leaders will have to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, these discussions, I think, is where you now look at engagements like the one that was recently held in Madagascar, where you saw, representatives coming together from different countries, of which our president also attended. Now, this was around the same time that, our prime minister had to leave for Japan.
Mm.
That explained for me why the president could not attend the ticket herself.
Mm.
Now, as to why she just said, why she decided to attend, the one in Madagascar and send the prime minister to Japan, on the other hand, is an interesting choice for me. Now, when you look at it, you begin to realize just how much discussion have to go into accomplishing any goal that we'd like to accomplish, especially the diplomatic one. And again, I cannot, the fact that we had a SADC discussion in Madagascar and the president herself was there when we go, made me go like, that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one because you know, one thing that, one of our, failed economic initiative that you and I keep bashing on.
Yeah.
Peugeot.
Yeah.
Yeah. We negotiated. We came up with a business initiative that, with the intention of feeding a market that was already taken.
Yeah.
And that's why the whole thing fell on its face.
Do you know what would have saved that thing?
What?
If we waited at least a good 5 years up until today to initiate that process. But obviously, I understand this was sort of like a COVID recovery strategy brought through from government,
mm-hmm,
to try and bring some form of industrialization, even if it's through a partial industrialization, like to start something off and then try to do skills development and the likes.
Yeah.
If we waited 5 years, we could have probably...
How would that have changed? I mean, wouldn't South Africa still have the market?
Of the same car?
Yeah.
Depends. There are things happening in South Africa right now, Hamoud, that if Namibia is clever,
mm-hmm,
Namibia could position itself and say, hey, listen, why don't you come put yourself in our market?
You're making us sound sneaky.
We have to, Hamoud.
Yeah,
there are things happening in South Africa today. For the past month and a half, I've been reading media reports. There are things happening in South Africa's particular economic landscape,
yeah,
that in the realm of what you and I highlighted last year in one of our talks, why the business sector or economists don't like instability or political uncertainty, and then politicians that love, throw mud at a rotating fan in order to generate more multiple or to increase, the level.
Cheap political points, as a member like to put it.
That fan, just throwing all that mud everywhere.
Yeah.
Hitting any particular bypasser, like a, what they call it, collateral damage situation. Yeah. There are things happening in South Africa today. Earlier today, which is actually 9 days ago, but for the first time I saw this report, the tire company, Goodyear, it has been in South Africa for 80 years, Hamoud. The The factory in the Eastern Cape is closing its doors. A tire company, a tire manufacturing company. It'll still sell the product in South Africa. But you've got to ask yourself the question, if you're still going to sell the product, why couldn't you maintain the factory? Now, that then leads to further questions. Now, obviously, what you cited in terms of starting off with the former Ghanaian president, Nana Akufo-Addo, and his particular, you know, ambition, which is also something that our president went and cited at the 40, at this particular summit, heads of state summit. We need to achieve enhanced beneficiation from raw materials, minerals, critical rare earth minerals, yeah, and so forth, which is obviously the entire ambition. I've seen a whole bunch of other things in terms of which are citing our closest. Okay, it's just one particular person's opinion, but specifically that the strategy has been from a European perspective that Africa should not industrialize. However, from what you and I covered in last year's the Italy-Africa summit, Italy-AU summit, which is actually the Milei, the Mattei plan, which actually now becomes part of the overall European ambition to help Africa industrialize, is because they've now realized there needs to be this mutual plan.
The Mattei plan actually is a very brilliant, it's a very brilliant initiative, at least if you look at it on paper.
Yeah, of course, 50 years in that direction, Helmut, it sounded good. But imagine what was the political sentiment in Europe 50 years back then with someone like Mattei thinking up such a plan. What do you think they would have thought about it? Him showing up with such a plan. I think it was in the 70s.
No, he would have been called nuts.
Or in the 60s. Was it the 70s or 60s?
70s or 60s.
Yeah.
It's not even a secret that the current Italian prime minister is a huge critic of countries like France and their foreign policy, especially the way that they conduct their political and economic activities, especially in developing countries, most of which are in Africa.
Mm.
Now, two birds with one stone is what the Mattei plan basically tries to accomplish, and that is stopping immigrants from moving to countries basically all over Europe, mm-hmm, especially Western Europe, and also by simply creating opportunities here. In other words, they have, the Mattei plans basically says, we have the money that we want to invest in your economy. But, here's the thing. After, the reason why we're investing this economy, this money in your economy is so that we can create opportunity there. So that, so that the people that are coming here for opportunities can find them closer to home. They can just find them at home so that they don't have any reason to come, at least not as many as they are currently coming. So, you are now, stopping immigration.
Mm.
And in other words, she's making a very, interesting point of discussion, at least in the sphere of diplomacy, that, the reason why most of these people are coming here is because they are coming to search for opportunities. Now, you can only go somewhere to look for opportunities if those opportunities don't exist where you are coming from.
Mm.
But here's one question that part does not address, and that is the governance issue. Now, if someone leaves again, Mozambique, this is not a very good week for you guys. if someone, for example, take plans like the Mattei plan,
yeah,
is implemented in any country, and then that money is taken and the promises of investment is made, and then you end up with a scandal like the one that rocked Mozambique back in 2016. Then you have another situation.
Helmut, this thing is almost 90 years old, the Mattei plan.
Almost 90.
Yeah, he did this in the 60s.
Yeah. Now, she has a point. The reason why people are moving from one place to another,
mm,
is because they're looking for a greener pasture.
Yeah.
Now, unless we try to figure out, what is the situation at home? Because, the last thing you want is just to, to throw money in an economy you don't understand, the money that's being generated. How is it going? When I was in high school, you know, we were asked to come up with an entrepreneurship project. We basically bought packages of sweets. We sold them, and we also have to document everything that we're doing. How much did we put together? How much sweets did we buy? How much change came back? And how much sweets were in that box?
Yeah.
And how much did we sell each? And how much were we expected to make at the end of the day?
Yeah.
Now, we lost, I think it was, $5. Now, when we were doing our presentation, one of our group mates, she decided, you know what, she was going to just take the $5 from her pocket so we don't have to talk about what happened to the $5. Now, that's when my entrepreneurship teacher said something fascinating that, even when you are running your real business,
mm.
before you start taking money out of other different, sources of income, to sort of sort out what's missing in your real business, first of all, find the loophole and plug it. Otherwise, then it will just keep going.
Yeah, I was about to answer that.
Yeah.
Do you know that what she actually did was incorrect, was wrong?
Yeah.
It was a risk that I also ran a lot, specifically in my previous career as a salesperson. The scenario sometimes was that either a client overpays, or the client sometimes underpays.
Yeah.
And then sometimes the scenario was that your cashier would say, Dwight, I'm not processing this. Or what are we doing with the extra money? Now, the thing is, before anyone starts going or thinking that I might be close to being sanquasalized, remember that the money doesn't come into my account at any stage. So I'm not there intervening or anything,
yeah,
or doing anything dubious. It's just when it comes to commercial activities, the first thing that a representative of an organization, if you're selling a service, you have to ensure that you're selling the product for the price that you advertise your product for. Meaning, if we now take an Eagle FM ad, Helmut, I cannot sell below that price tag. That price, before we continue, guys, we've got an ad break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back. The time is just a minute past the hour of five, so...
Yeah, where was I? So, if someone, and this is important for entrepreneurs and the youth that are now being encouraged to open up new businesses, you have to understand what your overheads are, because you have to understand what your price is.
What's overhead in English?
Overhead is your total amount of expenses.
Oh, okay.
An expense, remember, is also a liability. Because an expense can vary, an expense can increase, an expense can decrease. But your overheads, your overall expenses, has to be reflected in the price of the product or the service that you're going to charge your customer. Now, when you gave me that example just now, and I just heard that there was a $5 missing, do you know that there are accountants and auditors in this world that can be prosecuted for a 5 cent missing?
That doesn't make sense.
No, it's they are governed by a, they are governed by.
Okay, they have a whole body that certifies.
Not just the body, not just the body. The body also has certain particular legal or if I can call it fiduciary role. And if you're a financial, how can I use this word? It's that other phrase that we sometimes use for highly skilled people in an economy, in the labor market. They call them knowledge workers. Now, accountants and auditors are the same kind of people. They are similar to like doctors and, you know, medical staff.
Yeah.
Not that their knowledge, okay, the accountants have the knowledge, the, so do also the medical guys, but these guys have a specific, way of operation. They're similar to like the medical field where you have to sign on to a industry body, the engineers and so forth. These guys, you can literally be locked up for 5 cents. Your career can be destroyed for a missing 5 cents. So it's a noble thing, meaning it's an altruistic thing that that lady did when you guys did that exercise.
Yeah.
By, you know, plugging the gap of the $5.
Yeah.
But if the $5 gap shows up again in your next month's financials.
Yeah.
Which is the underlying ethos of accounting, is ensure that all your outgoing matches up to your incoming. Now, you have to look at, in accounting technically, you have to look sometimes at things in threes, in a set of three, meaning you get money coming in if you're a business and you've got money going out, but there's a position in the middle where there's money sitting still. So that money coming in goes and sits somewhere. And then that money sitting still, that's a state of being, is matched up with things that need to be paid for, which can be to NAMRA, which can be to Social Security, which can be to a service provider bringing your goods in. You know, if we're now talking about coffee and stuff like that.
Your water bills.
Your water bills, your electricity bills. That's the money flowing out. That's salaries and all that kind of stuff. That's probably your child coming and asking for a soft loan of like a 10K, you know. And you're wondering, why must I pay this kid? But yeah, you know, you anyways give the money.
Yeah.
So the aspect of accounting, and this is what many people don't understand about this particular front, this particular scenario. I remember on one social media meme once, one guy was complaining, yeah, why are we not taught about the importance of commerce and the value of money? But then there's a subject there that's given to you in high school.
Yeah.
Known as accounting. And so many of us run away from the subject. You know, if I could have had accounting there above mathematics, I would have taken accounting every day with my previous, if I could have that choice again on high school, I would have taken accounting every day of my life, Helmut. It's just because I didn't want the mathematics side of life, but I loved and enjoyed accounting. Even when I got to university, I loved and enjoyed it. I mean, accounting even helps you with stock, how to look after stock. Do you know where I am now, Helmut? Do you know that stock is also money? Remember when I explained to you about the cattle?
Yeah.
Yeah. The cattle is an investment, but think of cattle also as stock.
No, we just give them different names and, you know.
What, Betty, Sally, and and Fritz.
Yeah. Very delicious Fritz.
Fritz the bull. But yeah. So in that scenario, yes. But anyway, we were obviously detracting from our SADC discussion. So
Yeah. Now, the reason why I went that route is because, a lot of questions that needs to be addressed, even not just, in a SADC sense, but also, you know, by, even wider on an AU level.
Yeah.
Is one of, first of all, we have to address, what problems do we have? We know the goals.
Mm.
We know the goals. The goals basically are coming from the problems that we're having.
Mm.
A large number of unemployment, especially amongst the youth.
Mm.
Now, and one of the reasons why a lot of, public, especially in the political sphere, the word youth is used a lot, is because, it's not rocket science. The youth, those are the leaders of tomorrow.
Mm.
Now every parent, every time, I think this is a nightmare of, this is a nightmare of most, if not all parents, especially those ones that are working and sweating buckets to build a legacy.
Yeah.
The biggest fear is who's going to take over when I'm no more in the picture, and how responsible are they going to be, and how, what are the chances that they are not going to screw things up? Which is why I remember where, I think that was about a year or two ago, over here, I think, yeah, during the morning show, and we're talking about, the youth and leadership and the exclusion, someone pointed out that, before we start pointing on, you know, to the flaws that's in the youth, whether they don't like to participate in politics, or they don't like to take interest in everything, be it political or economical, that's taking place in their countries. And whatever flaws that we are patronizing or criticizing the youth on,
yeah,
let's ask ourselves one question: who raised them?
Who were the parents of?
Yeah, who were the parents? So in other words,
who were the grandparents of that?
Exactly.
Youth?
Yeah. Now they, you know, those people are the extension of their society.
Exactly.
So that's why George Carlin liked to point out that I don't like it when people look at politicians and complain. Every time that you look at politicians and complain, you have to understand that as a society, when it comes to leadership production, that's the best we can do, because they didn't come out of the blue; they came from us. I don't know. So that's the best we can do. So every time you look at a terrible public official, understand
and
that
it's not even based on merit. It's not even based.
Oh no,
it's not even based on skill set. It's not even based on genes. It's just a scenario of.
I know. Believe me, I do. So
I know that's ultimately one of the downsides of democracy.
Yeah. So in everything that we do, there's obviously more of a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this brings us to, back to my entrepreneurship example. One of the reasons I think that it's safe to say why Africa failed, its agenda, is it 2030 or 2063 silencing of the guns by 2021 was because, for one, we don't manufacture any of the hardwares that are used in these conflicts.
No, we don't.
No, we don't, but...
And, oh, we're going...
South Africa.
Yeah, and what's the other country's name? I think the Egyptians and the...
You know, as the
North
most,
African guys, I think they have that.
You know, as the most commonly used assault rifle, because of its, ruggedity and trustworthiness to operate in, is basically the Land Cruiser of the, of guns, AK-47.
It's not 47. Let me help you with the
AK
prop.
What?
It's AKM.
The
47 stands for, okay, guys, I know we all make this particular mistake. I also make it.
Uh-huh.
I had to go and read extensively about it. The version of the gun you see today is like 20 years after the AK-47.
So more of an upgrade of the 47.
Yes. So, you know, talking about 1967's version of the same gun.
Now, why would someone,
Because at that stage, the first AK-47, and I saw one of our local politicians who went and, on his Twitter feed 2 years back, he went and said, this is the greatest gun ever made. Technically not. Technically not.
He just had to go technical.
No, if you really go on, is it ad break time?
No.
If you really go on superiority of engineering.
Yeah.
The gun that the AK, the Alexei Kalashnikov, is based upon, the German Sturmgewehr, the STG-44, that's where they got the design.
Yeah.
Because the Russians had a different gun. The Russians had the PPSH. The PPSH looked like the Tommy gun with a drum barrel.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Tommy gun had a version of the drum barrel, but you had a stock in the front.
Yeah.
To hold on.
Yeah, because you have like a drum barrel at the bottom and you have a stock.
Like a thing, like a handle holding the gun at the front.
Yeah.
Now imagine the PPSH without the handle at the front and it just has this drum barrel. The PPSH had a different caliber to the Tommy gun. The Tommy gun is also known as the Thompson submachine gun. But the Thompson came in two bullet cartridges, way smaller than what the PPSH had. And obviously, the first actual assault rifle is what the failed Austrian painter, came up with. Do you know that the gun's name actually would have been the MP44? The first known actual assault rifle.
Assault rifle, yeah.
Yeah. But then him and his chief, his minister of propaganda,
Joseph Goebbels,
showed up and said, no, it needs to strike fear into the hearts of the enemy.
You know, like the Beatle does.
And then, you know, and the unfortunate thing is the gun designers and engineers were like, what do you want it to be? Okay, what sound does the thing make?
It's a gun. It's going to strike fear in anyone.
It has an assault feature, it has a rapid fire feature. Oh, then you call it the Sturmgewehr, meaning the storm rifle. A translation from German in Afrikaans would have been Sturmgewehr. It would have been closer to Sturmgewehr. Sturmgewehr 44, SDG 44. But there were also two variants of the SDG 44.
I'm calling it SDG something else in the 21st century.
Hence the reason why I emphasize the T, SDG. So, in essence, industrialization, which is one of the aims of this particular scenario of Southern Africa, was born out of industrialization of your armed forces. Now, I'm a big proponent. I just don't want Namibia going to go in...
trigger happy.
Yeah, to become bullies in one other way. And I also don't believe in that you need a SOE company. I'm sorry for mentioning names. You don't need August 26th to innovate. I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need August 26th to innovate. But because we've got legislation technically against... I think it's the manufacturing of weapons. I just have to be sure about what I'm saying. Helmut, do you know how much work we could have created if we had a weapons manufacturing factory?
And my biggest fear is we manufacture too many weapons, we become a war economy.
The police would buy it. The police would motivate their own budget.
Mm.
The army would motivate their budget because you would supply. You watched God of War.
Yeah.
Or is it War God? What's the guy's name?
Lord of War.
Lord of War, yeah. You watched Lord of War, which was based upon all the conflicts that Nicolas Cage's character went to.
Yeah.
Which is based upon a real-life character, guys, by the way. A real-life person. And War Dogs. You remember War Dogs?
Yeah.
The two young guys
mm-hmm.
who scored this massive tender, but the tender is about you've got to be in the war zone. You've literally got to be in Iraq 50, to deliver.
50-50.
This is not about you making a phone call with a briefcase and just, no.
Nope.
You've got to deliver the thing to pick up your money.
Yeah.
That's the worst part. So we could have industrialized. Namibia could have industrialized way quicker. And I mean it.
Yeah, but that's a finite economy because once you arm everyone, what do you do?
You're not arming everyone. Mm. But here's the thing.
Mm.
There's so much technology to build from. You could have improved on research and development,
yeah.
which is a sector on itself. You could have improved, we could have achieved our own car brand, which is a sector of itself. We could have, you remember that, what's the vehicle, the automotive thing that you and I spoke about back in May? Or was it April? Oh, the workshop engagement I went to, which is not actually a workshop.
Oh, the EV?
No, the vehicle, automotive vehicle engagement between Namibia and Lesotho, where the UN economic, what's that thing's name? UNECA? The Economic Commission for Africa. The UN Economic Commission for Africa was holding this consultative platform. And then we had that discussion here about how we achieve it. You have multiple avenues of achieving the industrialization. Either you rapidly go for, let's make our own underwear and toothpicks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is scenario one, soft skills develop, soft industries development. Second one is like, you go heavy into something like food agri-processing, agricultural, you know, industrialization through agriculture.
Yeah.
The quickest one shown in history, the templates exist in history, is through your military industrial complex. So instead of you having to buy a boat, for example, a fishing boat from Norway for... $25 million Namibian dollars a pop. You could produce a Namibian boat, a fishing boat for Namibian fishing companies, which helps with lowering costs because you'll be able to have the smelter.
You'll have the parts.
You'll have the industry that develops the parts.
Yeah.
You'll have the skill sets. You'll have the consultants. You'll have the boat yards and everything. Everyone working here in Namibia participating in the value addition. And then any fisherman or any person that wants to open up a fishing company can buy a boat locally. Now you've got to buy a refurbished boat from Cape Town, which is a boat that has like 1 million kilometers already on the tank. in terms of that secondhand, an ugly secondhand thing because it's rusted and stinks to someone else's fish because it was in other fishing waters. Or you have to buy something in USD from Norway.
And to service it, you have to take it back or do you pay them?
No, there's must that other SOEs must there at the coast.
A shipyard?
What's it? NamDoc or Nam... Oh, what's the company's name? But it's an SOE as well, itself. They're at the coast, which services international clients. But here's the thing, you could expand that client base just for that one company as well. Namibia could have built its own cars. We don't have to then rely on, you know, the weird rules that Namara brings in. Yeah, if you import a donkey Botswana from Botswana, put it on a trailer, and then all the Namibians were going haywire. I remember, because I was still doing the business economic segment. Yeah, who, where must we get a trailer? It makes sense because the new car dealerships, the guys that sell the new cars, they also bring their cars in on a trailer. They don't drive it here. It's on a trailer, on a truck. That thing never touches the road. It makes sense. It really makes sense. And these are like weird small industry things and stuff that get it because you're bringing in a product.
Food processing
yeah.
for me would be, how do I put this, you know, soft industries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, in a definition that
clothing.
We used to me. Yeah. Clothing yeah.
And other textile.
Yeah. Because, first of all, you are dealing with, little skills in comparison to what is needed in the automotive industry.
Yeah. And that's how Korea began.
Yeah.
That's how Japan became what it is. That's how China became what it is.
Yeah, because waking up and just saying that, no, we're going to start building our own, you know, our own aeroplanes. And first of all, ask yourself how many parts an aeroplane has. Ask yourself where are you going to get all of them?
Do we even offer aeronautical engineering in Namibia?
China has, produces, like, I think several, you know, small, what they use domestic, you know, domestic, for domestic flights.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are types of commercial airlines that's used only within China.
Yeah.
But, they are not certified yet.
Internationally.
Yeah. Internationally.
Yeah.
So that's how strict the regulations you are dealing with are.
I know.
Now, if you have to wake up, which is why, you know, you're going to have to excuse me, but every time that I walk past, you know, easy and see the plane that we made. I just start laughing. But, look, sometimes we have to be very hard on ourselves.
That guy had a dream, Helmut. Leave that
it
guy.
It was, it's a very good dream.
Yeah.
It's a very good dream.
To hammer a few panels together.
Yeah. It's a very good dream that, that required a lot of research and development. I think that's where you have interested parties, and these were the finance now comes in, and you have interested parties and basically research on how do we make this go anyway. You see, you have to understand that there's a reason why an airplane engine is made from one metal only, at least that I know of, one.
Yeah.
Titanium.
Yeah.
You can't make an airplane engine out of steel. That thing is going to blow up mid and you're going to kill people.
Yeah.
So,
it's the high heat resistance.
It's a very high. You are talking about something that is about what's the cruising altitude? About 10 kilometers for commercial airlines, and that thing is spinning at 1,000 RPMs.
No, but
for how many kilometers?
But you're almost now on jet technology. You sometimes just need propeller technology. For example, Norway and Canada have the. What I didn't know, you know, we hear about Airbus and Boeing a lot. But there are smaller manufacturers who can help with, you know, closer proximity, like air travel. But I start with a skills development scenario first.
Start from there.
Because South Africa produced the world's first military helicopter that can do this. They can fly upside down. Okay. It doesn't fly upside down. It can turn upside down and then change course.
Like flip?
Yeah. Flip. But I'm talking about you going forward. And instead of you turning left or right, you turn up and over and you change direction back again. Do you know what its name is?
That's making it a jet.
Do you know what the helicopter's name is? The Americans have the Apache.
Yeah.
The Americans bought that South African thing, the Rooi Vel, the Die Rooi Valk, Red Falcon. Die Rooi Valk. It's the South Africans are the only ones that created this thing and everyone else copied them. Why are we looking to China? You don't even have to look to South, to Russia even. We can industrialize, Helmut.
When it comes to Russia, you're gonna look at, you are going to be asking them for the titanium. The,
yeah.
The one that's certified for, you know, but for, then, for aviation.
But then we can talk to, what's his name?
Yeah.
To DR Simos.
Titanium mills. You'll have to mill it, Dwight.
I know. There are two places in the world that have got the highest concentration of minerals.
Yeah.
Of various kinds of metals and minerals.
Yeah.
One is Russia, which is being sanctioned into another.
No wonder
another
they don't care.
And the other one is DRC. Now, our president stated specifically in a speech, yeah, we need to firstly find the, we need to reach the economic integration of the bloc so that it leads to, if Namibians have minerals beneficiation, neighbors like Angola should also have it so that it has like a cross-border beneficiation.
Yeah,
across the border. We buy and sell from each other. Technically, what they call that thing's name?
A point of correction. Sorry. Pardon. We buy and
this
sell.
This is not a debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We buy and sell from each other.
Yeah.
Minerals.
Yeah. No, not minerals, but the.
You know what we can use.
The thing that was had more has now more value to it. And then it won't be long for a caller to come through and say, yeah, but those Angolan kids, they're on the border with the Angolan petrol or fuel products. Is that not an indication of it?
Oh, dear Lord.
And I saw that last week. Do you know with what they're running around with, Herman? 5 liters. They're running around with 5 liter canisters. I sat there, the tour guide was going like, there's the border, Dwight. And all these guys, there's a name they have there in the Ohangwena region for those kids, for those young boys, those young Angolan boys. I forgot what the name is, but that was a feature. They run around literally with 5 liters worth.
Desperation will do that to you.
And you know where they sell it? They don't even sell it close to where the people with the cars are. They're here in the bush, here somewhere, because we were driving from Odibo back to Oshikango. They're in the bush, they're in between Odibo and Oshikango.
Private
they're in the bush
stations.
There. I mean, okay, but anyway, yeah, obviously cited another particular complaint.
Part of what the president said in her speech here,
yeah,
that I found it interesting was, there, you know, there's a part where she's talking about SADC, and that's on page 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. She points to our developmental aspirations cannot be realized without strengthening the infrastructure for peace, security, and a good governance.
Yeah.
Which is why I kept pointing to, how is the foundation looking? Because you saying, take for example, like, pretty much, I think this is the part that a lot of investors, I think, are coming to sort of like hammer on in terms of focus whenever they're doing their investment. They are, you know, they are trying to make sure that there is secure, you know, my money is safe here. Most of them have actually been criticized by a lot of international organizations for making, you know, for exacerbating corruption.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Which usually comes from the mining sector.
Yeah.
And sometimes even the discussion we had yesterday, high net worth taxations. Yeah. The people obviously who participate in tax avoidance and in tax evasion exercises. Yeah.
Yeah. Then she went on to say that without peace, there is no progress, no safety for families, no hope for children, and no growth for economies. When I read that, it brought to mind what you said, you know, the example that we used yesterday about, take a grocery store, for example, any grocery store that is situated in a place, in an unsafe environment, it will have to either risk losing customers or shift somewhere.
Yeah.
closer to other countries.
Somewhere safe.
Yeah.
Because safety is a key part of it.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why Europe is dealing with a lot of immigration, now you see a lot of anti-immigrant sentiments growing up, popping up everywhere, especially all across Europe. Yeah, all across Europe, especially the western part.
Yeah.
It's because you have people that are either looking for opportunities, and that's one. Now, those are the positive kind of people, because they are negative kind of people in this group. And you have people that are just, taking their skills, anywhere, for better opportunities. You have those ones that are looking for opportunities because they have none where they come from.
Yeah.
You have those that are looking for better opportunities because they had that, doing the same job in Africa and doing the same job or in their country and doing the same job in Germany, for example, there are interesting, perks that comes with you taking, doing the job in Germany.
Mm.
There are a lot of people that are weighing this option. But the biggest problem is that in this very group of people that are looking for greener pasture, people that are running away, people that are running away from atrocities that have committed in their country, they are making part of this group.
Yeah.
And now you have problems where old habits die hard because you have you have a bunch of people that are now making Africans look bad because when they get there, the only skill they know to make money is to harm people. Mm-hmm. And then they continue doing that. Now you have if you are European and you grow up and you wake up the next day to a bunch of people that were caught into breaking into someone's house.
Mm.
And you keep reading about the same thing over and over again. Throw in media, narrative pushing type of media reporting, and you have a disaster on your hands. Now, at the very same time where this storm is brewing on a civilian level, mm-hmm. you have leaders that are leaders from both the African continent and Europe that are talking about joint vision 2030. My question is, joint vision 2030 for who? Your civilians are kicking the heck out of each other on the ground. How the heck are you going to join them?
Yeah.
Without first trying to figure out the core problem. Why are they coming? Now, on this one, both Africans and European on the leadership level have accountability to discuss.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Shoprite, o ta chapora umvara mirongo ndatu na tano zondando ziripevika. Unawe, o ta tu chapora no hobita mwambika. Oli tira zirimbali zo magazi koko tereka go right brand sunflower. Kodono mirongo hamano no wino, sendo mirongo wino wei. Oke jinta no zosuka ontokere yo marathon ya napa nawa. Kodora o mirongo winane no sendo mirongo wino wei. Zirikosi koka heri gasepetemba nuvo. Ino shererewa. Shoprite, no ontando ziripevito voro okuine kira aruhe. Imone nao ompito yoku sindana ikuja kwa Shoprite. Landa kia kishimu etashukutha ombing, ponga ono marayo wina poka slepa koe. Ituma kwa WhatsApp, pangwe ongo yom sindani, opina o iwe tai sindana esku keke. Oko, Shoprite, akuke.
Now, when it comes to, welcome back. Now, when it comes to the discussion of peace and security, like the president puts it here,
yeah.
Again, it takes us back to the discussion of energy security back in February. Investments that will create any industry, if you want to process something or manufacture something or build institutions for research and development,
yeah.
You will have to assure the person that has the check that their money is safe.
And that if
and a war zone is not the right place to give someone an assurance on that.
Definitely. And you have to give them another assurance in the level of, in the event that things go drastically south, you can still withdraw your money. Now, I know that does not sound appealing to any.
Yeah. You know, the president is telling you that when you come back and withdraw your money, the general's in charge with a bunch of guns.
Yeah.
Good luck negotiating with that guy.
Very good luck. Not that we're saying we are down such a path, no.
No, we're not.
We're just stating the scene as what it looks like in the rest of Africa, guys, so that you just know what we observe every day.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you still want to say how much?
Now when it comes to the, when it comes to one of the biggest part of this whole immigration problem that Europe is having a problem with, and the joint vision 2030, Agenda 2063 that the leaders are making, on top there, what you can help ask yourself is, first of all,
yeah.
How are guns making their way to militia groups? There are a lot of unfortunately high level, leadership level individuals that are involved in this arms smuggling.
Yeah.
And now you have like an evil version of Robin Hood going on, where you have, in the afternoon, you have, Helmut, the African Union representative of the Republic of Namibia, telling everyone we want to achieve peace and security. And then at night, he's signing checks for Boko Haram for them to channel for them to channel military equipments into a group that they secretly support and then publicly keep denying.
Do you know what's the worst part of that?
Forget about peace.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you know what's the worst part of that? Like you outlined it, there are people on this side that supposedly support the good side of maintaining law and order who are secretly literally
channeling
or assisting or playing a part in destabilizing actors across the continent.
Yeah.
When you look at a scenario like that, you have to ask yourself the question sometimes, Helmut. Now, if the whole AU goes and votes on a theme of the year known as how do we want reparations, but we prove to everyone time and time again, every year, year in, year out, we can't put greed aside.
Yeah, that's...
And build to a common goal. Why is Sudan where it is today? Because the president they had for a long time, Omar al-Bashir,
yeah,
was a long time dictator.
Life-saving.
Life-installed, national leader.
You have to understand, if it was in medieval England, it would be called a king.
And if the civilians didn't say, listen, Mabru, enough is enough. We can't take this anymore. And then two of his own generals decide to usurp the whole governance structure.
Yeah.
Now you constantly ask yourself the question, in this modern world, why do you need civil wars? Why do you need civil strife? You and I understand as Namibians looking into the DRC situation, why the proxies existed, because no one wanted to be labeled outrightly by saying, you are declaring war,
mm-hmm,
on another sovereign state.
So they decided to both, actually painful enough, use their own citizens as cannon fodder.
Yeah. But in most cases, it was citizens in DRC. But the downside is the discussion in DRC was one of such a level that if you and I did not stumble upon the plight of the Banyamulenge, meaning the people there in that Eastern DRC neighborhood,
yeah,
who have been discriminated against since Mabutu Sese Seko. Mabutu wanted to displace them since the 80s. How then are you going to achieve any format of peace, any format of stability?
Now when you make that point, it takes me back to what the president said during Heroes Day. Unity is what we are looking for.
Yeah.
Now, I know that it's, the thing is, in the history, interesting enough, if you look at a lot of military conflicts in the history of mankind, they have for the most part being motivated by religious or tribal differences.
Yeah.
All you just have to do is watch a documentary or two of what's going on in Ukraine right now is, has been blown to smithereens.
Yeah.
Why? It's because, well, someone came into leadership and then started looking at a at a group in his country, most of which I think, you know, further east of Ukraine, who were further east of Ukraine, who were mostly Russian in ethnicity. Then for political gains, someone decided to use the already existing tensions and then just poured fuel on it to, you know, to push it to a breaking point, which brings us to where we are today.
Yeah.
So, most of the military conflicts have been fueled by tribal differences. But, when you look at it, then you understand that it's just someone with a lot of money playing chess with people's lives. And, that's where I think it's not very safe to start, you know, to start, bringing up tribal tensions. First of all, that's not how you build an economy.
Mm.
Because if you want to build an economy, what you are looking for is who is qualified to do what.
Yeah.
Not who is from which tribe.
Which is true. But it has also been proven, Helmut, watch out for meritocracy. It's the quickest way that a system can be corrupted.
Meritocracy. Actually, I've come to learn that,
I've also learned that a hard way. I had to watch a documentary where the guy, literally the scholar, the academic literally said, don't use that word meritocracy. It's the easiest way, for example, in the US, how they literally cut corners. Then they go and say, we are the best. You come to Europe, they try to improve on meritocracy, but if you are not in a certain particular social class, you go to China, which is supposedly the world's oldest society based on meritocracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
you can just peel a few layers away and then you go like, okay, you also have certain elements there.
Mm-hmm.
You can forget about South America. I mean, they had Pablo Escobar. I mean, he was this close. I mean, he was literally the epitome of rags to riches. But in not the most beneficial sector ever known to human society.
I started looking at meritocracy differently when I came to realize that I think it was I'm speaking under correction here. I think it was Professor Lumumba.
Oh, yeah. I almost said Patrice, but the other guy.
Junior. You think he's listening? But anyway.
His name is Pro or Plo.
Pro
or Plo is his name. The first name.
I just referred to him by the title.
I know.
Mm.
But yeah. You were saying.
Now, the thing is, he made a very valid point when he said some of the biggest, individuals with a, who could use a nail cutter in terms of managing public funds are very educated individuals.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
and you will still need them.
You still need them. I mean, they have the skills. They are smart level genius. But then the thing is when you put them into position of power basically just, you know, take over without the right checks and balance to keep that power in check.
Mm.
Everyone can be corrupted by power.
I mean, one of the best, worst examples in life has been the Cultural Revolution in China. I once had a debate because in my family, us the siblings, we all, most of us at least did see a university. I say that, and most of us did finish our tertiary qualifications. We also read a lot. The debate I had once was because I was infuriated, sorry for that blunder of that English word, infuriate. I was so infuriated, Helmut, pre-COVID, it was during the first term of President Kainkop. You know, various particular developments were going on. And obviously because of Namibia's particular technical recession that we were experiencing, you could see the hardship that your fellow Namibians were experiencing. The flow of money was not so freely anymore as pre-2015. and things were just looking bad, and people were starting to look for scapegoats in terms of blaming, you know, who's at fault here. And I remember, you remember when you and I also in the early years here on Eagle FM and many of our programs before we partnered up on the Home Run, we had a lot of callers that said, you know, what's the aim of all these, mastered, doctored up, advanced degree Namibians, which also sort of like stabbed me here in the heart, in the chest, because I've also got multiple educational certifications and experience. And then you go think about it and you say to yourself, but you need these people.
Oh yeah, you do.
You don't want a scenario where the blind were leading the blind, like in the Dark Ages. They call it the Dark Ages when the Roman Catholic Church was in charge of Europe.
Yeah.
Writing laws, being the police, being the managers of estates where a lot of dubious and corrupt actions could happen. And even were the negotiators of peace between rival states. You didn't want such a body.
They're the ones that, you know.
And then they accumulated a lot of wealth in between.
And a lot of power.
Yeah. And they ensured that the masses were not educated.
On purpose.
On purpose. So when you look at certain particular scenarios, the history has shown, and the best format of history, of said particular history, comes out, unfortunately, out of Europe, is that you've got to take things by the scruff of the neck if you wish to achieve the highest level of the modern society you want to be, and you've got to push things forward. Helmut, Namibia wants to achieve things through NDP6. We want to achieve things, right?
Yeah.
We wish to, our president, when it mentioned, we need to strive for regional integration, right? Do you know what South Africa does? South Africa was not present at this engagement, because I looked at the list of things and I just have to make doubly sure. But when Iran and Israel were throwing each other with explosives, the South African media has been talking about this, the non-state media. A high-ranking South African general, military general.
Oh yeah, I came across that.
You also came across it?
Yep.
Flew to Tehran after the Israelis did the first bombing. Remember the first bombings of the nuclear sites?
Yeah.
Flew to Tehran to go and deliver a message of solidarity. Wat se goed vang jy aan? What are you doing? Helmut, you remember when we were threatened on school by bullies? But before that, ad break.
That iconic taste of Heineken, loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken, loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original, or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. The time is 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. We still continue, but before we do, let's take a live read.
Velvetia University, where new short courses are available. Faculty of Law, Commerce and Education. This is from the School of Science program, Certificate in Workplace Dispute Resolution. Admission requirements are Grade 12 Senior Certificate or an equivalent NQF Level 4 with a minimum of 18 points in the 5 best subjects and a D symbol in English, or a Grade 11 Certificate with a minimum of 22 points in 5 subjects and a D symbol in English, plus a 2 years relevant industry experience that will be required. The course cost is $5,500 Namibian. Application period is from 1 August to 31 August 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462 or email admissions@wu.edu.na. Velvetia University, where everyone is an achiever. So I was still on the wat maak jy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amut, do you remember when you and I did the Pan-African Parliament discussion? I don't know what South Africa is busy with.
Okay, when I came across that, because I'm an avid user of social media.
Yeah.
I came across that, that story, I think about a week ago. And
yeah, because the South African media are now only talking about it for, I think, for the past week as well.
Yeah. Okay, for a highest member of the South African military to leave the country and go to,
Tehran.
Yeah, go to Tehran.
And say we are in solidarity. Yay!
Now, here's the thing.
Go and ask Edward Snowden, eh?
I know.
Yeah.
Believe me, I do. Here's the thing. And as far as the office of the president, as far as I was able to follow the story, I think the office of the president came out and said they did not know anything about his trip.
The presidency.
Uh-huh.
The South African presidency.
Which I was like, there are two ways this thing can go. There are two ways one can look at this, and none of which is good. It's either they know, when you're a president, and you can't say, I don't know, I had no idea the head of, the guy that's in charge of a bunch of guys of, with guns in my country, I don't know where he is half the time. That's scary enough.
Yeah.
Now, whether the presidency knew about that visit or they did not know, none of which is good.
And trying to play plausible deniability tactics
where
one of your leading generals are.
Although, to be fair, playing plausible deniability, if South Africa does that, then, well, South Africa copied it, learned from the best. The best plausible deniability guys are, well, the British and the Americans.
Mm.
They're the ones that will just, go somewhere, cause chaos, and turn around and say, we condemn that. Right now is something that's still ongoing. Isn't Iran part of BRICS?
Yeah.
They are. Now, South Africa.
Part of one of the founders of BRICS.
Exactly. So, these diplomatic engagements, if you look at it from a purely diplomatic standpoint, it's not a big deal because South Africa and America, they're all member of BRICS, they are sovereign nations, they can visit each other. Except the world of geopolitics, on paper, that's how it works. But in reality, that's not how it works.
Mm.
This is now the most painful, at least a part for me is that it's how I have come to, how it have come, how the war in Ukraine and what's going on in the Middle East, what has been going on in the Middle East, have come to reveal to me that it's beginning to show.
Mm.
I think if you look at it from a military conflict standpoint, that international law is only for countries that don't have armies strong enough to do whatever the heck they want.
Or
nuclear bomb.
If you're not Kim Jong-un.
But if you have a strong enough army, well trained, well equipped, and you have weapons of mass destruction, literally, then you can just do whatever the heck you want.
Of course.
That's the same picture we can see with Russia. That's the same picture we can see with the US has a laundry list of leaders they toppled and then turn around and and blackmail others if they find a gun in the hands of a civilian in your country.
Mm.
But one thing that you see here is that leadership laying a terrible foundation with regards to how to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, again, that's geopolitics in the real world, not on paper. On paper, self-determination, excellent. You can do whatever you want. Any country can do any sovereign nation can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
That's on paper. But then again, on second thought, we have the Monroe Doctrine. You can't come here. I can't go there. Now, this country
I can be everywhere.
Oh, I can be everywhere because, I have the guns. Is it?
Yeah.
The guns. So, the peace part is an interesting part of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's a very hard reality that we have to deal with. When every time that we're having, economic discussions or discussions of any kind on a national or on a continental level. First, for you to take unemployment, for example. for you to create employment, you need to create industries. For you to create industries, you have to build physical infrastructure that's very costly.
Yeah.
You don't want to build it today and then renovate it tomorrow because it got blown up.
Yeah.
That's very counter development. But unfortunately for us,
life is wonderful.
Oh, it is.
Unfortunately for us. I mean, building on what you just highlighted, Hamoud, obviously the three, the three events, as I laid out at the start of our talk, in terms of what took place before the heads of state actually got their time to start talking now.
Yeah.
The concern that SADC has is fragile, overall fragile peace, stability, and security in the region.
Yep.
So far, they only keep referencing Eastern DRC.
None of them mentioned Mozambique.
None of them mentioned Mozambique, which is very weird. Which is still, if you go and look at ISS, the International Security Studies, or the Institute for Security Studies for Africa,
yeah,
they will cite to you the most recent stuff of Mozambique.
Mozambique,
I think, was at the start of August.
We went to the polls with them last year.
Yeah.
And how did things end?
Just because one guy went and said, I think that it was robbed from me.
We disagreed and went to court.
Yeah.
They disagreed
and decided to go cause chaos in the streets. And then at the same time, he runs out of the country.
That's one of the reasons why I'm never participating in all these. You can't start a military, an armed conflict, and then start, cheering us from the safety of Portugal. You're doing great.
Yeah, put your life online for me, ne? Remember. Yeah.
And every time he's giving a speech, we are supposed to sit there. You know what? That guy is he's the one we are fighting. Why the heck is he not here?
Yeah. So, if you look at scenarios like that, they obviously are, citing fragility, peace, security, and stability in certain parts of the bloc.
Yeah.
What has been the most promising thing that counters the fears that they have is that so many other countries went through the election processes, came out unscathed, no problems, no issues on the other side of things. Yeah, here and there you would have a few people, which are usually opposition parties, complaining, like we obviously saw at the start of our year.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to court and the legal process has been upheld. What is shocking to understand here is the aspect in terms of how we wish to achieve regional integration. Our regional integration, Hamoud, has to work from a position of we can trust each other.
That's going to take a long time.
Do you know why I said we can trust each other?
Uh-huh.
So, currently, and I read this in the statement of Mr. Makhosi, the executive director of the Troika organ. I read in his statement that was on the 14th of August. SADC is busy building a logistical operational hub in Botswana for military interventions. Meaning, they're building a facility mm-hmm. whereby SADC will have its own sort of like mission, military mission.
Yeah.
So that when in future things like DRC, Eastern DRC happen again, Cabo Delgado persists in Mozambique, SADC has the means logistically, goods, equipment, and personnel to just say, we can send you within 48 hours
yeah.
to respond from there. It sounds like a very good idea. Sounds very noble. Sounds outright very good. The fear I have of that particular scenario is, will this be an excuse to try and, let's for example say, intervene when you don't know what is the real weather on the ground, for example, in Mozambique?
Yeah, like what's the economic atmosphere?
Not
what
just,
are they even fighting
Not just
about?
Economic. Socio-economic as well.
What are they fighting about?
What are they fighting about? Is it because that it's an undeveloped part of the country? They probably had complaints of economic discrimination in that country, in that part of the country. Yeah. For example, like the Banyamulenge that you and I stumbled upon. Because we just thought, I walked around with a general notion that Paul Kagame is stoking some sort of he's trying to bait DRC into some sort of like open conflict. And just a good read on Paul Kagame is actually hunting the guys that he believes are still alive and were much of the perpetrators from the 1994 genocide.
But hiding a genocidal maniac is wild.
That's the biggest concern, Zia Helmut. Because the moment you start just scratching underneath the surface, which is like skin deep, you see the whole can of worms. Because then you realize, so that this was a narrative that you were driving, that we were being given. The narrative was most plainly, from the Western media that I kept watching, because remember, Kagame's country is technically French, but they speak English as well. They teach English as well in the schools. And DRC is predominantly French, and you will struggle with English media.
Big time.
Coming out of DRC. Yeah. Just to understand, Kagame was, and I'm not saying I'm a fan of Kagame, but I'm highlighting a position of understanding why he was trying to collect or kidnap his security forces, were trying to kidnap people that were hiding in South Africa. That's just one of the issues why South Africa is an issue with Kagame from Zuma's days.
Yeah.
And then the ongoing Eastern DRC issue with DRC. Then I realized what's going on here. So Kagame was highlighting a particular position that the rest of the world was not paying attention to, didn't want to pay attention to, didn't want to acknowledge. Now, if we sit with scenarios like this on the African continent, where the potential is high for current governments on the continent to spin a detail, meaning they spin a communication narrative,
turn it into a narrative push.
Exactly. What are you going to sit with?
A lot of misinformation.
Exactly. And that's the exact trap that Ramaphosa walked into by not understanding what's going on in DRC. Because Ramaphosa, as South Africa, they will try to put together a mission. That is, was them, the Malawians, and who was the third country? Them, the Malawians, and the... Let's say, who was the third country? Was them, the Malawians, and the Burundians, yes.
Yeah, I almost said Kenya, then I realized that Kenyans were there as a neutral party, then which was misconstrued DRC president.
Yeah, which was before the Sami DRC, the Southern African Mission. The Burundians were most the ones that were shot at the most, them and the South Africans. The Malawians most were like, sort of like the most peaceful guys. But the international, if I want to call it like war of words between Kagame and Ramaphosa, was clearly you could see that the South Africans and the South African presidency misunderstood what Kagame's, his perspective is. His perspective was, if you're going to be a peacekeeping force, act like a peacekeeping force.
Now, this is where I am with you on the whole, establishing more of a military base response type of, type of facility to respond to any military conflict. That, my fear, I think I've read, I've read too much into the, into the American economy. Mm. Sooner or later, you end up running the risk of your whole economy depending on, depending on arms sales. Mm. Now you start orchestrating, literally orchestrating armed conflicts. So because your economy depends on it. which is actually a terrible idea. Like you just pointed out that you don't understand the social problems that led to this chaos that you want to just go and bomb it out of existence.
Yeah.
One of the member of Congress was asked by Tucker Carlson, you know, when they were still talking about bombing Iran. He asked them, how much do you know about Iran? Homeboy had no idea. What religion is practiced in Iran? Now, how many regions are in Iran? How many tribes are in Iran? What do you know about Iran that made you understand what is going on there and that led you to the conclusion of bombs are the only solution?
Mm.
He had no clue.
Mm.
So you can totally understand that the reason why people like that exist is because they are driven by interest, not rationality. So now, if you have someone that has a lot of shares in military arms that is going to get that tender to go and to equip the guys that are going to do the bombing, he's not going to sit and ask what is going on in Mozambique and what social problems led to that.
Yeah.
He'd just be like, well, as long as we're making money, let's just go and do this.
Of course.
Development is to develop you need infrastructure. Infrastructure is expensive to keep bombing and renovating. So peace and security is the foundation. If you don't have that, forget about any food processing plant in any constituency. Sorry, I said to throw that one in on our way out. It's 3 minutes into the hour of David. For me, until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. Stay tuned for business and economic segment.
On my side, dear listeners, let's see each other again, same time, same place. And the same, stay tuned for the business and economic segment.
Yeah. And now, without further ado, the writer of Psalms. This is what you are supposed to say. Hello. Okay.
Great news! Imper just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imper? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imper just got even